time to do the job. Time to do the job! Behold the jobber of jobbers. Daniel Jobber.
What's up, everybody? This is the Edmonton area's own D-Job, Danimal, Daniel Jobber, self-proclaimed Duke of the Cruiserweights. And this is another episode of Jobbing Out with Danimal, Daniel Jobber, 205 Live and WWE Cruiserweight Report, courtesy of the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Hope everyone's doing well this week. In sports, the Pittsburgh Penguins pounded the Nashville Predators 6-0 tonight in Pittsburgh to take a 3-2 lead in the Stanley Cup Finals and move within one win of repeating as champions. In the NBA, the Golden State Warriors have a commanding 3-0 lead in the NBA Finals and are one win away from reclaiming the championship from Cleveland and winning the rubber match of the past three NBA seasons. In the WWE, we had Extreme Rules this past Sunday. Make sure you check out my review and results video on my Daniel Jobber YouTube channel. Anyways, we crowned two new champions as The Miz won the Intercontinental Championship from Dean Ambrose, and Cesaro and Sheamus defeated the Hardy Boys in a steel cage to reclaim the Raw Tag Team Championship. Of course, in the same pay-per-view, Neville defeated Austin Aries in a submission match to retain the Cruiserweight Championship, which we will talk about more in a bit. On Monday Night Raw, we had one of the better Raws in a while, and in the main event, Samoa Joe defeated Seth Rollins with a little help from interference from Bray Wyatt. On SmackDown Live, Shinsuke Nakamura defeated United States Champion Kevin Owens in the main event. Also, a week from this Sunday, we have the SmackDown-branded pay-per-view Money in the Bank, featuring the main Money in the Bank ladder match, but also for the first time ever, we have a women's Money in the Bank ladder match. If I'm understanding what happened on SmackDown Live as well, I believe we have a women's title match between Naomi and Lana? Lana? Okay, that should be interesting if that's correct. Also remember, we have Alberta's own Jinder Mahal defending the WWE Championship against Randy Orton. Of course, also, we are 10 days away from the Raw-branded WWE Live in Edmonton on the 16th of June, in which Roman Reigns is supposed to take on Bray Wyatt in the main event. Damn, I wish I could afford to go to that show. Of course, the next night in Calgary, I believe they have a Raw-branded show as well. Anyways, before we get to the Cruiserweight action this week, we have a quick jobbermercial. Do you love steak? Then be sure to try it with Red 5 Steak Sauce. Ultra spicy. It makes your steak taste, so good. Your taste buds just can't repel firepower of that magnitude. If you love steak, always have some Red 5 Steak Sauce standing by. A job commercial featuring Red 5 Steak Sauce, everybody. If they haven't invented Red 5 Steak Sauce yet, they really need to now. And now to the Cruiserweight action this week. First off, on main event, we had Lince Dorado versus Drew Gulak. In this match, Drew Gulak comes out with his usual no-fly zone sign, trying to get a convincing victory for his Cruiserweight crusade. However, this match was doomed from early on. Lince Dorado tries to do a vault up the top rope, but you can see he came off in an awkward fashion, like he almost slipped or something. A minute later, you can see him wave a quick moment of non-kayfabe, favoring of his knee. Finally, when Dorado tries to do a backbreaker, he doesn't even put Gulak on his knee as the pain appears to become too much for him, and he rolls over to get the attention from the ref. He's finished, and the ref is forced to call the match due to injury. The injury does not appear to be kayfabe, as they ended the match at a really awkward time, and in such a way that it did not make Gulak look like he did anything to cause the injury. Typically, when a babyface has a planned injury angle, the heel appears to have caused the injury, so he builds more heat for himself. That's why I think this injury to Lince Dorado was real, although I have been unable to get any update on his stats to this point. Going into the match, Dorado had already been off TV for the previous 2 weeks, and I doubt this is going to help. I'll update his stats as soon as I'm able to get some information on him, though. On the pay-per-view Extreme Rules, of course, we had Noam Dar and Alicia Fox in a mixed tag team match against Rich Swann and Sasha Banks. I found this match a bit disappointing. Noam Dar and Alicia Fox did have a few good offensive moments and a few near falls, but the match really seemed to gear around Swann and Banks winning and dancing around to give the crowd a quick bit of entertainment. The ending is also worth of note, as just before Rich Swann threw Noam Dar into the ring and hit his Phoenix Splash to pin for the win, Sasha Banks had climbed to the top turnbuckle and was about to leap onto Alicia Fox, but Noam Dar pushes Alicia Fox out of the way and faces Sasha Banks himself, and yet Sasha Banks still leaps and lands on top of Dar. In a mixed tag team match, this can actually lead to disqualification, as people are not supposed to willingly attack a person of the opposite sex. However, no call is made on this, and the babyface goes on to the victory, babyfaces, to give the crowd members who were not in the washroom at that point some entertainment. And of course, we had the Cruiserweight Championship match between Austin Aries and Neville, the champion. This is a good title match, but it was a better submission title match than it was an actual Cruiserweight match. Also, the ref didn't seem to understand the rules associated with a submission match. He was officiating it like it was a no-pinfalls match, in which anything goes besides pinfalls than a submission match, which is only submissions are supposed to count to end the match. Yep, early on, the ref was counting when the guys were outside the ring, which is pointless because a count-out can't end a submission match. The ref also counted towards five when someone grabbed the ropes while in a submission hold, as if the person who applied the hold could be disqualified if he didn't release it. None of these should be ever possible in a submission match. Anyways, despite the poor refereeing, this was an entertaining back-and-forth encounter between two great athletes and performers. The execution seemed pretty flawless to me. Early on, they sold up Austin Aries' injured knee, making me believe they may still make it an epic struggle for Aries to win the title, finally win the Cruiserweight Championship. However, later on in the match, Austin Aries missed the jump from the top turnbuckle, and Neville quickly turned it into the Rings of Saturn. Austin Aries gets to the rope. However, a bit later, Austin Aries is able to put Neville's own Rings of Saturn on him, trying to beat him with his own submission hold, but Neville's able to escape. A few moments later, Austin Aries manages to get his last chancery on Neville, and Neville looks like he's going to tap out to make Aries the new champion, but Neville manages to crawl out of the ring with Aries still attached. Outside the ring, Austin Aries is able to put the last chancery on again, and Neville starts tapping out, but the referee informs Aries that tap-outs only count in the ring. This may have been the only correct officiating there was in this entire match. After Aries releases the hold and gets back in the ring, Neville climbs up groggy on the apron, and Aries hits him with his discus five arm, sending him back hard outside the ring. Austin Aries then tries to go for his heat-seeking missile suicide dive, but Neville ducks down at the base of the ring, and Austin Aries flies way over top, looking like he's diving into nobody, and he slams into the barricade on his own steam. This was a poorly timed move, as Aries should have seen that Neville was not there before he dived. Anyways, this is the end, as Neville then throws Aries back into the ring, hits his Red Arrow finisher, and then puts Austin Aries into the Rings of Saturn, and this time Aries has no choice but to tap out, allowing Neville to retain the Cruiserweight Championship. It was just not meant to be for Austin Aries, as instead of being the key to an epic struggle of which he wins the title in the end, the injuries he kept selling ended up being the story of his downfall. Then on Monday Night Raw, we had TJP versus Mustafa Ali. However, before the match, TJP once again asked Neville for his title shot, now that Austin Aries has been dealt with permanently, and Neville tells him to go and take care of Mustafa Ali in the ring, and that he will talk to Kurt Angle. Wow, what a very quick match, even by Raw standards. TJP had a little bit of offense. Mustafa Ali hit a couple of flying moves. Before you know it, Mustafa Ali is on the top turnbuckle to do his inverted 450 splash, and Mustafa Ali is going to win, right? Wait for it. No, 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 no. TJP kicks his legs up, hitting the top turnbuckle and knocking Ali off. TJP then hits his detonation kick and picks up the big victory. As TJP is leaving the ring, Neville comes out to meet them and tells him that he has some unfortunate news about his championship opportunity. TJP says, "That's it. We're going back together. Me and you, and we're going to talk to Kurt Angle together." Finally, Neville realizes the jig is up and attacks TJP from behind. He says, "You think you're on the Neville level?" as he slams TJP's head into the ground. "You got your championship opportunity tomorrow night on 205 Live!" So what do you know? Neville finally becomes a man of his word after all. Later on Raw, Akira Tozawa is seen backstage watching Titus O'Neil with Apollo Crews lose to Kalisto, apparently to discuss the possibility of bringing the Titus brand to Japan in an interesting expansion? More on this on 205 Live. And then we have it. 205 Live. And first off, we have Noam Dar, the Scottish Supernova, versus Cedric Alexander. Noam comes out with Alicia Fox, without Alicia Fox, rather, causing the announcers to speculate on whether he is having relationship problems stemming from the mixed tag team match, and causing the crowd to wonder, "Where's Alicia Fox? Where's Alicia Fox?" Dar cuts a promo reminding the people that Cedric Alexander called him a snake last week on 205 Live, but he feels sorry for him, because he is just jealous. Dar reminds the audience that Cedric Alexander and Alicia Fox used to date. He says that Alicia Fox is home now, recovering from a neck injury from the mixed tag team match, but that she wants him to destroy Alexander. As he is finishing his promo, he's interrupted by Cedric Alexander's entrance music. Anyways, it's a pretty straightforward match. Noam Dar rides mostly on ground submission-style moves to wear down Alexander, while Alexander does some nice typical cruiserweight-style moves. Alexander does a handspring enziguri and a springboard forearm clothesline. Finally, near the end, it looks like Noam Dar might be ready to set up his supernova kick, but Cedric Alexander hits him with a lumbar check out of nowhere and picks up another big victory. Cedric Alexander is shooting up the cruiserweight rankings. After the match, Cedric Alexander yells to Noam Dar saying, "We're done! I've moved on! If you were smart, you would too!" On a side note, the Rochester crowd was digging Cedric Alexander, and consequently Noam Dar did some pretty good heel work too, getting the crowd against him as well. Then they have a quick segment on TJP showing how he won the Cruiserweight Classic and his rise to become the first Cruiserweight champion. Then Dasher does an interview with TJP so he can cut a promo talking about how Neville joined forces with him to solve his Austin Aries problem, but how he made the biggest mistake of his life because now he has a TJP problem. Then we have Mustafa Ali versus Louis Valley. Louis Valley? I'm not sure who this Louis Valley is, but I'm sure he's a four-season veteran. Oh, wait. Never mind. That's Frankie. Anyways, this was a short squash-style match, of course, but the Rochester crowd seemed to appreciate Mustafa Ali. Quite an appreciative crowd there in Rochester. Anyways, when Ali's about to hit his inverted 450 splash, out comes Drew Gulak to distract him with his no-fly zone campaign. While Gulak is distracting Ali, Louis Valley rolls him up for a pin, but Ali reverses it and rolls up Valley for the three count instead. Anyways, Gulak proceeds to preach to Ali and the crowd, talking into his megaphone, even thanking the crowd once as if they were actually cheering for him. He says how the crowd are a bunch of losers and don't know how to win like he does. He asks Ali again to join his campaign, saying if he wants to become a winner like him or a loser like them. Unfortunately, he's right close to the ring at this point, looking sideways, and Mustafa Ali takes the opportunity to plant him with an over-the-top rope suicide flip. Ali leaves the ring, knocking over the sign in the process to an approving crowd, while Drew Gulak lies in pain on the ground in the ring. Then they have a short feature about Rich Swann and how he dances, and him winning the Cruiserweight Championship on the first episode of 205 Live, and how he's had a tough life, losing his father at 12 and his mother at 16. He says that wrestling saved his life. Anyways, then they flash to a backstage segment of Rich Swann and Akira Tozawa talking Japanese. Titus O'Neil comes along and says, "Yeah, I agree with that," as if he understands the Japanese. He asks Rich Swann if he minds if he has a moment alone with Tozawa. Rich Swann goes, "Tozawa? It's Tozawa." And Titus goes, "That's what I said." Then Titus says that he was talking with Tozawa's best friend, Apollo Crews, and that you'd be the one to take us to the next level, to which Tozawa goes, "Apollo?" Titus says that Tozawa's best friend, Apollo Crews, said that you have all the tools to be a member of the Titus brand. Star power, athleticism, and most importantly, charisma. When you do that, aha, ha, ha, almost with his dog barking sound, all you can hear is cha, 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 as in cha-ching. I know you can use a little more yin in your pocket. He tells him that he doesn't have to decide today, that he can think about it. Go home, talk with his best friend, Apollo Crews, who he sure can fill him in on what it means to be a part of the Titus brand. He tells him to call him when he makes his decision. He extends out his hand to Tozawa, saying, "Cool?" But when Tozawa doesn't try to shake, he pulls back his hand, saying, "Cool," and walks away, going, "Ha! Ha! Ha!" again. Tozawa sits there shaking his head. I can almost hear the words in his head saying, "I don't need to think. I don't like you. Ah! Ah! Ah!" Now we have our main event, the Cruiserweight Championship match, Neville versus TJP. Surprisingly, the crowd was actually somewhat mixed in this match. Some were cheering TJP, and Neville made a number of them boo him when he did his usual solid heel work. But there were portions of the audience chanting for Neville, too, especially later on in the match. This match went on for about 15 minutes. Once again, a pretty good match between two great athletes. Late in the match, Neville's taunting and yelling at TJP, saying, "Why do you do this to me? Why do you make me do this?" as if he likes TJP and doesn't really want to beat him up. Then Neville tries to go for the red arrow, but misses, and then TJP puts the knee bar on Neville. Neville looks like he might tap out for a second, as usual, but then he works his way towards the ropes. TJP tries pulling him back towards the center of the ring, puts him on it again, trying with everything he has to win the title, But unfortunately for TJP, Neville managed to reverse it into a poorly locked-in Rings of Saturn. TJP manages one more time to roll Neville over for one last pin and a two count, but then Neville rolls back into the Rings of Saturn again, and this time locking it solidly, and TJP is forced to tap out. Well, actually let the ref know that he would tap out if he had a hand free. So anyways, your winner and still WWE Cruiserweight Champion, Neville! The story between Neville and TJP finally comes to an end. Or does it? Stay tuned. Actually, what I really want to see for the Cruiserweight Championship is a multi-man match, probably at Great Balls of Fire, between Neville, Austin Aries, Akira Tozawa, and TJP, where they can battle it out and see who really should be the Cruiserweight Champion. And if Austin Aries were to win the title there, I have no problem with it. Certainly, I'd love to see Akira Tozawa win, or if Neville wins, you know, where do they go from there? But yeah, he's a worthy champion, so I mean, that would be a great way to cement his position as Cruiserweight Champion going forward as well. That's all this week for the Cruiserweight action. Once again, I'm Edmonton area's own D-Job, Danimal, Daniel Jobber, self-proclaimed Duke of the Cruiserweights, and you've been listening to Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber, 205 Live, and WWE Cruiserweight Report on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. You can follow me on Twitter, at Daniel Jobber, with a capital D, capital J. You can follow me on Instagram, at Danimal Daniel Jobber, all lowercase. And of course, go to my awesome website, danimaldanieljobber.ca, and check out my amazing Cruiserweight Power Rankings and all my fun stuff. Leave me a comment on Discus Discuss. If you haven't signed up, of course, make sure you sign up, because many websites are using it for communicating and getting feedback from their audience. And of course, you can check out my personal stuff on my Daniel Jobber YouTube channel. And if you really want to send me an email, I accept emails at danimaldanieljobber@gmail.com. Of course, this week, I'm proud to be coming to you courtesy of the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Tune into the network for shows such as Mike the Ref's own The Blown Call and a shorter podcast known as Quick Calls. And, of course, the Sounds of Struggle podcast featuring the awesome Chris Parrish and Maniac. Come on, move with them, just move with them. Also, check out great Alberta wrestling shows such as CWC Evolution and RCW Breakout featuring Mike the Ref's awesome wrestling commentary. Remember, you can enjoy the magic of the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play Music, and the awesome mobile app Podbean. And hey, I know I say awesome a lot, but hey, everything is awesome. Everything is great when you're part of the Jobber Squad. Sorry, Warner Brothers. And of course, when you realize how awesome we are, make sure you go to whatamaneuver.net/collection/Edmonton-SPN, which of course you can see in the comments below, and buy official Edmonton Sports Podcast Network branded merchandise, including the official Danimal Daniel Jobber merchandise. Even a baby onesie to get your baby off, right? As little jobbers. Anyways, you can follow the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on Twitter at EdmontonSPN with a capital E on Edmonton, capital S, capital P, capital N. And you can follow Mike the Ref on Instagram under Mike the Ref EDM, all lowercase. No matter how you watch us, make sure you give thumbs up or like or and subscribe to anything. And of course, let us know you appreciate what we do and that you want to see more. With that, I'm going to wrap it up. Hope you all enjoyed this week's wrestling action. Hope you all have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week on Jobbing Out with Danimal Daniel Jobber, 205 Live and WWE Cruiserweight Report. Jobber out!
Time to do the job! Behold the Jobber of Jobbers, Danimal Daniel Jobber!